I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 616. A musical bard saved my life
with the song. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, sister.
How are you doing, sister?
Oh my god, in this holiday season, it's nice to be around loved ones.
You know, isn't it? Don't you just get the warm, fuzzy tingles?
Yeah.
It might be a caterpillar on your leg, though.
I mean, it's nice to feel something other than rage.
Or cold.
That too.
Yay! No, I'm super excited to be talking right before the holiday, which I'm actually going to get to see you physically in person. And so this will be like the second time this month that I've seen you.
This Christmas, I get to see you.
And the very so nice. Next day, you're going away.
It's like, it's just enough forced family time that's enjoyable.
You know, exactly. And isn't that what the holidays are really about?
I mean, I think that's what the message
family experiences
of a Christmas of a Christmas tale was meant to be. Is spend just enough time to be like, this is nice, and then go about your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's accurate. And you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm actually looking forward to it. I hope that, you know, all of you guys who are listening to our podcast, that you're looking forward to holidays and that you'll get to spend them.
Whatever holiday it is.
Yeah, whichever
Christmas,
one it is.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Advent,
you know,
Hanukkah,
Solstice.
I mean, Hanukkah's over. Solstice, Yuletide.
You know, whichever. Roll Tide, you know, day off of work where you get paid. I mean, there's so many different holidays that you could be celebrating. Whichever one you are, we both hope that, you know, you get to do it with people that you like to be around, that it's full of laughter and cheer and all that good stuff. We have a bunch of games and anime to talk about. Okay. I'm going to actually let you take the mic of a thousand truths right now, because I've kind of been hogging it the last few episodes, because I've had a lot on my mind.
I mean, you firstborn, I'm just used to it now. Like, I'm just used to taking,
I know,
waiting.
But you make it sound like I don't ever let you shine.
Well, I mean, you give me 8 minutes every week
to shine. I'm going
to
give you more than 8 minutes, though, this week. I'm going to give you the mic right now.
Oh, my God.
It's your moment.
I don't know how. This is my moment.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
See,
anyway.
We go to different places, because in the back of my head, I have, like, the 8 Mile song start to play. Like, what would you do? You only got one shot.
Oh, my
shot.
God. If you had one chance. And I went Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So clearly we're relate.
See?
So, yeah. Okay. So I have two relatively smallish games to talk about this week. But I'm glad to be going first. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stretched out. I feel comfortable. I feel safe in the space. It's very nice. So I want to warn people right now that, one, I'm talking about a horror game that is gory and not safe for children.
Okay.
At all. Maybe not even good for some adults. Really kind of depends.
I probably fit into that bucket.
There is a big warning for sexual aggression.
Ooh.
So, like, literally, like, if you're sitting around a fire with roasted chestnuts with your kids right now, may not be the show. Or, like, come back in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, you might want to fast forward.
You might want to fast forward.
Just
and it's okay.
Bit.
I do not feel I'm not offended, because I played this game and I chose to talk about this game.
Okay,
and
so what is the game?
So the game is called Momoka, and it is a horror RPG maker game. And I saw a YouTuber who I love to watch, Manly Badass Hero, play it, and then I went and got it for myself.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, he's still playing through it, so I was like, I saw maybe the first hour.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I'm like, I think I could play this game. So the game starts off in Masuki Catholic Middle School because, you know, all scary shit happens in churches because religion is scary.
It absolutely can be.
It absolutely can be. And our lead character, Momoka, has been sent to this Catholic middle school for 3 weeks, which is a little weird because most times when you go to school, it's not just for 3 weeks. It's usually for, you know, the school year, like several months. But she's there for 3 weeks. And, you know, during the day, everything seems, you know, fine. You know, because it's a school. It's all only girls there. Bunch of nuns there. The nuns seem okay. Doesn't seem like there's a priest or anything, because for some strange reason, there was a rumor that the one priest that was at the school was not doing nice things to the girls and to the nuns. So much that the head nun went crazy and then murdered him. And since then, the school doesn't have a priest. So it's really weird that the school can still run because, like, I don't know who's running mass. I guess it's just the nuns. I don't know. Or, like, maybe they hire, like, a deacon who shows up every Sunday to do, like, a sermon. But, you know, things are quiet right now at Christian school. And it's summer, so the girls are bored. And, of course, you know what happens when you get bored middle school girls all together. They start telling stories.
Okay.
And, like... And one girl's like, hey, I know about this urban legend that if you go into the church at 3 a.m. in the morning, which should have been the big first nope, the biggest first nope to ever nopety nope, 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 nope. You nope. Don't go in no church after hours.
Nope. those are the unholy hours.
Exactly. You do your worship during the 9 to 5, unless it's Christmas, then you do midnight mass, but you ain't in there after midnight. Too much energy.
You're not in there when the priest is not around.
Well, I mean, there's no priest, so, like, you know,
see,
you generally...
See, that's a problem. That's
also a big, like, no-no. But one girl is like, hey, new girl, like, you don't know the deal, but, like, if you go to the church... at 3 a.m. and go into the confessional, you'll hear a priest ask you to confess your sins. And if you don't confess your worst sin, he'll haunt you forever, right? So, of course, like, she's like, I totally don't believe in that stuff. I don't even really know why my parents brought me to this school. I'm not religious. Like, one, girl, why'd you let your parents do that? Like, clearly you're not religious, but they dumped you in this school that already has a reputation for, like, shady shit. And you think that's okay? No, it's not okay. But of course, your character's like, I'll go. And of course, the ditzy girl who, because like you're in your dorm room and you're with four other girls. So you have like your sporty one, your ditzy one, then your quiet, reserved one who clearly knows something but doesn't say anything until the last bit of the game. And then you, the protagonist, who's dumb as fuck. So you as dumb as fuck character, Momoka, that's her name, she's like, I'll go. And of course the ditz is like, yeah, I'll go too. I haven't done it yet, tee hee hee. So like the sporty one, who I'm just going to call her, I think her name's like Maru or something. But Maru's like, don't forget, you got to go in the second one and you have to go right in at 3 a.m. You can't mess this up. And I'm like, and this is where we're going to mess it up, right? Like this is where the fuck up's going to happen because there's always a tilt. Like with Corpse Party, you have to do the charm and you all have to say the girl's name the same amount of times plus one. And I'm like, I'm not good at counting, so I wouldn't do that charm because I would fuck it up. Like, I know me. I know my limitations, right? But anyway, so you have to sneak into the church late at night, which you do. You can't get caught by the nuns, which the first time I tried this, I got caught, so I got sent back to my room. So that was good because then I just got the bad end of, oh no, I survived. Like the sad thing that the bad end is that I didn't die. Like that's sad.
Okay. Like, before like, you go any further, how do you spell this game? Because I can't find it.
All right. So it's M-O-M-O-K-A.
Okay.
Momoka. That's her name.
And that's the full name of the game?
That's the full name of the game. Yes. And literally, the opening title screen is literally her being, you know, restrained by chains. I can't tell if she looks sad or not. So anyway, so when you finally succeed, you get to the church, and it's like 5 minutes before three. So, like, you have some time to kill. And then the ditzy girl is like, oh, I'll go in and do it. You just have to let me know when it's exactly three so I can walk in there. So your character's like, okay. And, like, you have, like, a two-minute conversation. And then she's like, all right, you should go in now. And the girl goes in, the pink-haired one. I think her name's Chirasi or Chirasaki or something. And she goes in, and, like, it's quiet. The atmosphere is very quiet. There's nothing alarming. And then finally your character Momoka's like, hey, did you do it? What's going on? And you don't hear anything. And I'm like, oh, she fucking did.
Yeah.
She fucked up. She done fucked up somehow, maybe. Mm-hmm. But sure enough, like, you move the character closer to the pew. And then the girl, the pink-haired girl, pops up. And she's like, ha ha, I fooled you. Nothing happened. I mean, I gave one of my confessions. But I mean, like, I think it's the worst thing I've done, but I don't know if it actually is. So I'm like, oh, you done fucked up. You fucked up for real now. Because, like, if you didn't kill him, the greatest sin, this ghost is going to haunt you. And you leave, and another girl shows up, and she's like, oh, you guys doing the ritual? And they're like, yeah, we just did it. And she's like, is it still open? It's like, yeah, go right on in and take these keys. And mind you, in my back of my mind, I'm like, if you're supposed to do it right at three, and this is after three, like, this girl's gonna fuck, the other girl's gonna, like, you fucked up, this other girl's gonna fuck it up, like, everyone's fucking it up, and what if the how to perform this right is wrong, because that's what kind of happens in Corpse Party, spoilers, it's all wrong from the jump, so everyone who's doing it is fucking up, and I'm like, oh, I bet everybody in this church is fucking up, maybe even the priest did it, and he fucked up, and that's what got him murdered, like, I don't know, but sure enough, you know, we get back to our room, and, like, the sporty girl's like, so did you guys do it right? And the pink hair girl's like, yeah, we totally did it, but nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, you hear a door knock, and it's one of the nuns. And the nun is like, hey, somebody broke into the church. Do you know who it was? And the sporty girl's like, nah, I didn't see nothing, I didn't hear nothing. Snitches get stitches, I ain't saying shit. And the pink girl's like, I just woke up. It's super late. Why are you here? And Momoka doesn't say anything. But that quiet-ass purple-haired girl that I told you about in the beginning is like, I know who did it. And she snitched. And she snitches on you and the pink-haired girl. And you have the choice to be like, it was just the pink-haired girl. Or you could sacrifice yourself. Now, mind you, your character's not the one that went in there. But you were an accomplice. Uh-huh. To the one who went in there.
See, that's why sometimes you can't be supporting your friends.
Right. Sometimes your friends do stupid shit. Like, when your mom's if your friends are on a bridge and they jump, do you want to jump too? Like, okay. No.
I don't care even if a bungee cord is involved. No.
No. I'm big. I need an industrial bungee cord.
I don't need to be part of none of that mess. I'm not jumping off of a properly functional bridge, and I'm not jumping out of a perfectly fine and operating airplane.
Right. It's like, I'll meet you at the McDonald's when you're done.
Yep.
With your crazy, crazy shit.
Let's get some
But anyway, so I decide to be the good friend, and I said, it was just me, sister. I did it. I broke into the church. And she's like, come with me. So then I go with the nun because, you know, I'm in a Catholic school. Nuns are kind of the authority. I seem to be a fairly good girl. I'm just going to take the rap. Maybe I'll get a ruler to the knuckle one time, two time. I think she's going to be like, don't you do that. Don't you know what you've done? And she leads me back to the, like, principal's office, which is like the head's nun's office. And then the bitch drugged me. She puts a needle all up in my throat. Like,
not cool. Not cool.
Hits me with a narc one time, and then it gets black, and this is where the tilt happens, at least in my game. So, see, the great thing about visual or horror maker like these is they're very story driven. Like, it's a lot of point and click adventure kind of meets narrative, which we know I'm very much about narrative. And the thing about horror games in this scenario is you want to choose a lot of words carefully to build a scene. And I mean, I think there's a lot of promise in this game, but clearly this person who did this. It's their first game. So there was a lot more text describing what was happening, which, I mean, I'm fine for. But most people who play a lot of these games, like, get to the point and get to it quickly and then build it once the story is really ramped up. But it's all black and you get nothing but text for like 8 solid minutes, which was a little much even for me. But it begins to describe that Momoka is attached to a chair she's kind of Jesusing on this rack of some sort. And she has these things restraining her because she's blindfolded so she can't see, which is why we as the player can't see, which I also thought was smart. But then she begins to describe her legs being chopped off. And it was very graphic, even for me. And I was like, because most times, like, you hear a sickening crack of bone and, like, the, you know, the generic anime girl scream and maybe, like, a flash of red. But, like, all this is being graphically detailed in white text at the bottom of the screen. And I was like, oh, I'm like, this is a really bad end. I'm like, are they just going to stab me and kill me? But, like, this was, like, slow and painstaking. And I think that was kind of the point to build this tension. And when it finally turns the screen back on, your character Momoka has managed to, like, slip out of these chains on this rack-like cross. And she has no legs. And she is bleeding out. And she is dying. Yeah. And, like, you have to get out of this room, but you can't stand. So your character's avatar is literally crawling on the floor. And every few steps, blood, or rather every few drag, blood is, like, pooling behind her. Which I've never seen done in this type of game. I'm like, wow, they really want to drive in the fact that, you know, your efforts are futile because your legs are gone. You are bleeding out like you are going to die. And as you manage to get out of the room, you know, you're like, I need to get out of wherever I'm at. And she sees these stairs and she's like, I won't make it up these stairs. Like, I am running, like, my consciousness, I'm losing it. Like, I need to find a way to cauterize these wounds and I don't have it. Like, it is sadistically sad to hear this narrative of this character that you slowly, you know, bond with a little bit. But, like, they really kind of cranked it up to, like, 15 right out of the gate with, like, very little narrative and subtext as to, did the nun do this? Did something else happen? And then, just when you think you're going to die, your character looks up and sees herself standing over her with legs. Yeah. And they both have this freak out because they both recognize each other as Momoka. And the one that's standing is, like, terrified at what she's seeing. And she kills the one on the ground. Like, bludgeons her to death. And, yeah. And then the two friends show up. Like, oh my god, what happened? And she's like, this girl who looks just like me. Like, she's got no legs and she was dying. I just pulled her out of her misery. You know, and the other two girls are like, yeah, after the nun came and took you, we heard gunshots, so then all the nuns went crazy and started killing all the girls in the school. So we ran to the basement, and that's where we found you. You know, and you go through the basement, and you actually find out that the priest had been possessed by, like, the devil.
Oh, isn't that always the case?
Yeah. So the priest was doing naughty things, and the devil was, like, peeping. It was like, hey, I see what you're doing. I'm kind of down with you doing that, but, like, I could help you do it better. So, like, how about I give you this power and you stay here in this basement and all the girls who are at the school, if they do this ritual, like, I'll grab them and you can do whatever naughty things you want to do to them. And then also I will, like, take their blood and make clones so that I can eat them. But then also we'll put one... And then we'll put one back up there so other girls don't get suspicious. So I think the way that the story is going is that the Momoka that we, the player, are playing isn't even the original Momoka. She is a clone of a clone of a clone. Because I don't know how far this rabbit hole goes.
Or how many Momokas have been eaten?
Have been sexually assaulted, eaten, tortured, murdered, cloned again, and then put back up there for, like, a later snack when the devil gets hungry. But, like, all the nuns are crazy now, so now you have to, like, fight nuns or not fight nuns, but some of them got guns, and one
nuns
takes out
with
the
guns
pink. Nuns with guns, and you don't have no weapons because you middle school kids. Like, you maybe got a pencil if you find one. And then at one point, you have to fight one of the possessed sisters because she's, like, super possessed. And, like, you literally, like, it's messed up. It was very dark.
Yeah.
Messed up. And I got through that first playthrough. And I think there's actually a way that you can survive and not have anybody get murdered. I'm not there yet. But, you know, I think it's there. There's hope.
I don't know that.
I have to believe that there is hope. It was an interesting experience, which made me realize that I need more Jesus in my life, but I don't need to go to a church to get Jesus. I could just say, hey, Jesus, it's me. What up? Maybe we should just let priests marry. Maybe then they'll stop doing bad things to people. Like, maybe. Think about it. Like, you the all being, you know what's right or not right. Think about it.
I'm going to say cloning people to sexually assault them.
And then eat them.
And then
eat them. Well, no. Like, the sexual assault, like, seasons them to be the most delicious.
No.
Torturing them and then sexually abusing them makes the flesh tasty to the devil.
That's a hard
pass. It's like adding some salt.
Pepper. That's not saison. Okay?
And some salt.
No.
And some butter in the pan.
Do not liken that to adobo.
It's like adobo. It's like some sofrito.
No.
In the mix. But I was highly intrigued. I'm still trying to stomach when I'll jump in again and do another playthrough to try to maybe I'll just rat out my friend. And maybe then the real adventure will begin, because then I won't get cloned. But I'll find out about the clones, and that maybe I'll find out I'm already a clone. But it doesn't matter, because the devil is eating people, and we have to stop him. We middle school girls have to fight the devil
and
win.
Why is it always put on middle school kids, you know?
You know, because it's the most fucked up time of their life, so why not have them battle for all of humanity when they're already, like, going through the strange puberty things?
You know, that's the wrong thing to do. Puberty is bad enough to go through when you're just trying to deal with puberty.
No, sis, okay? I know why it's middle school kids. Because what? High school kids don't care. And college kids would get it right the first time.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, if they were all college, like, in, like, pre-med, they'd be like, hey, guys, I heard this urban legend. Should we do it? No, Tim. The end. Like,
right.
There'd be no
right.
game.
You're right. You're right.
Because logic
right.
would win.
Right. You're right.
You have to
high school
be this
kids
dumb
be like,
to summon
that
the devil.
Dumb. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to Starbucks. Do you want to come with me? You're right.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
You're
and then
right.
they show up at the Starbucks and be like, hey, this Necronomicon was sitting on this. Should we read it? No.
No.
Do not read the Latin.
Okay. No one
Don't.
Wants to read Latin. I just want to sit here and enjoy my chai.
Like, this book looks like it's made from human flesh. We should probably send this to the CDC.
You're like, I'm not touching that. Do you know how many diseases are on it? What if it had, like, romaine on it? Ew. No.
Exactly.
Right.
Right?
You're right.
So it's gotta be dumb.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why it's either, like, freshmen in high school where they're still kind of coming off of the middle school dummies.
Yep.
Or yep. middle school.
You're
like,
right.
It's always there. Or, like, young, like primary school kids, because they don't know any better, and they just want to be brave.
Correct.
And
they're not jaded by the world and know how the world can actually hurt them. So they're still curious and, like, I want to go on an adventure. Whereas high school kids and college kids are like, adventure is bad because it's going to end up badly. So let's not do that. Instead, let's stay
home
and Netflix.
I wish I had the skill set to make games, because I feel like I would want to make a series of survival horror games with, like, one kid who, like, gets pulled into, like, a death game in, like, primary school,
mm-hmm.
survives that, then gets put into, like, an alternate murder universe in middle school, and then when he gets to high school, he's, like, that loner kid that everyone's like, he's fucking weird. He says he's been through shit. And then shit starts happening, and he's like, oh, fuck no. Nope, not again. What are we dealing with right now? Because I've been in a murder game, and I've been in a parallel universe with a murderous ghost.
Yeah.
What are we dealing with now?
What are we dropping into, boys?
What is this? Oh, I'm ready. Like, and then he ends up being the hero because he's been through shit. And at the end, he goes to an insane asylum to live out the rest of his days in, like, pillowed bliss. Because he can't be out in the real world. And it has to be a he, because God forbid it be a girl.
Right. Because that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Don't even start. But anyway, like, I found it highly intriguing. Enough for me to want to go into this one or two times. You can get it. It's available on Steam, which means computers. I don't think we'll see this console side. Don't think we should.
Yeah.
Just as a commonality.
I don't think it should.
But, like, it was fun. And then on the other and then on the other side of it, there's this other game that is, like, completely on the other side of the bell curve, which I watched
my husband. Super Saccharine?
Yes, it is. And I actually think you have a Switch, right, bro?
I do.
So I actually think this could be something that you could play and you would enjoy. So the other game, like I said, is available on Switch, and it's called Wonder Song. And it's a puzzle adventure video game where the player plays a bard, and he's on a quest to gather pieces of a song that will save the universe from destruction.
Okay, that's a noble quest for a bard to be on.
Yes. Well, it's really funny because for the perspective of me, because, like, I've played a lot of, like, tabletop games where, you know, like Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder and other ones sometimes.
I like that. And other ones.
Well, those are the two that I have played specifically. And, I mean, in both those cases, I was an archer in one, and then I was also a cleric in a different one. But we always had a bard. And, like, it was always funny because, you know, whenever I think of someone playing a bard, I always think of, like, those rando bards you see in games who are, like, randomly singing songs about what the hero is doing, which is usually me as the player. And I'm just like, this guy is, like, stalking me and then singing about my failures and or my successes. Does this man have nothing better to do? And so, I mean, it's very colorful. Like, very happy. My husband was really excited to see it. And, like, I was half falling asleep when he started playing it. But I'm like, this looks like something I could get into. And literally, I saw the start of it. And at the beginning of it, the bard is just, you know, a bard living his life. And, like, he hears this rainbow-colored voice. And it's just like, you know, all this bad stuff is happening. And you know what this world needs? And he's like, a song. And she's like, yes. And only you can deliver the earth song. And he's like, all right, well, tell me what the song is. And she's like, yeah, see, the parts of it have been scattered across the world. And it doesn't really have a melody, but it's, you know, it's like this essence of earth. So you just have to find it and you'll know it. And I'm like, so we're essentially Goku as a bard, trying to make a spirit bomb in this song that will save all of humanity, essentially. So it's a puzzler. So clearly, like, you're platforming a little bit. You're solving puzzles to get through here and there. You will get other team members. Like, at one point, it looked like a witch who at one point is like, we're being chased by, like, this lava demon. We should run. And you, as the bard, is like, I should sing. And it's like, song might not be the right plan right now. But I know that that's kind of what you do as a bard. You sing things away or not away. And it just looked really cute and really fun. And I didn't want to completely down the moment with, like, pedophile priests and satanic eating and sexual abuse. So I thought, why not bring in a bard?
Right.
Who could sing about all of that? But yes, it's... But right now, you could also get Wonder Song on Steam, but it is available on Switch, and I believe it's for about $19. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it's a really nice, you know, wander away from the macabre.
Yeah, when you've gone the entire pendulum swing into darkness and despair, it's good to swing it back the other way into something
I thought I'd end on the higher note as opposed to the darker note, because I probably would have initially started with Wonder Song and then gone into Momoka and then be like, well, sorry that this was such a downer.
What do you have?
I mean, I mean, I still want to figure out why Momoka's parents put her there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, really. Like was she on time out? Like, what?
It's like, you're a heathen. You need Jesus. We're going to make you go to the school for 3 weeks so you can get all your Jesus in, and then we're pulling you back. Like, I kind of want to know what the
deal
is.
We're going to Hawaii on vacation without you, so here, we figured you'd be safest with the nuns for a little bit. We'll be back.
So, but that's what I had. I have dark and depressing, and then let's sing about it. Happily. What do you have?
Okay, well, I have a collection of oddities.
Okay.
Because as far as new games go, I have not yet started my RDR2 adventure yet. I'm trying to close up Odyssey before I start that. I want to say that I'm close, but I just realized that there's like 10 big guys left to take out, so I'm not as close as I thought I was. And I'm about 60 hours into Odyssey already, so there you go. But I finally made it to end game level cap, so I'm at least level 50 and still running around the map there. But in the meantime, in between time, running through and just, you know, taking care of Athenians as Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I've been looking at a couple of different games, you know, beyond RDR that I'm getting excited for. You know, we're right on the cusp of Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, it's nearing ever closer.
It is. You are not wrong.
And one game that I'm getting a little bit more excited about, which really kind of flew under my radar and I'm kind of surprised about it, is Jump Force. And it really only came back to my radar because of the fan fest event in Mexico, XO18. Because I'm like, this should have been on my radar in a much bigger way because, as you guys know, I enjoy fighting games tremendously.
A lot.
Like, so much. Okay, it is merely because I've had so much schoolwork and work that I have not been berating poor Panda into playing Soul Calibur with me.
It's actually really funny that you say that because I brought it up to my husband because I saw a trailer for it or like a commercial for it. I'm like, Ninja hasn't asked me about this yet.
Yeah.
She must be busy.
Yep, legit, that's what it is. Don't worry, it's coming because that's going to be my birthday present. That's what you're going to give to me for my birthday.
No.
It's going to play Soul Calibur with me.
Ah, damn it. You know I can't say no because it's your birthday.
Right. Right. But Jump Force really kind of flew under the radar for me, and it surprised me because it's a fighting game, but it's a fighting game with pretty much every Shonen Jump character on the planet.
Oh.
Like, the fact that they've gotten the deal so that I can have, you know, Saitama fighting Goku, which really, isn't that the fight that we all want to see?
You know, I'm not mad at that idea.
Right? Like, I would watch that series.
I would watch that series.
Okay, One Punch Man versus seems, for whatever reason, to never be able to die and always finds a new wealth of new depth of power man. Yeah, I want to see that fight. Like, bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But it's basically a fighting game with every single one of my more favorite anime characters being able to fight. So, you know, you can have One Piece characters, Naruto characters, pick somebody from the DBZ universe, like, fight each other. And the fighting mechanics are, it is, I don't want to call it cel-shaded, but it is cartoon design. So it very much has similar look and feel to Dragon Ball FighterZ. So the characters look like anime characters. They don't look like highly 3D, crazy, polygon developed, uncanny valley versions of their characters. They look like their characters, which, you know, helps you stay in the illusion of, I am now participating in this cartoon world that I've loved forever and forever. I'm kind of surprised that it flew under my radar, but I'm paying much more attention to it now. And I'm really looking forward to Jump Force. And I have a feeling that it will very quickly move into the esports arena for fight games, which I think is great because it makes that more accessible, I think, for people. You know, when I've talked to some people who are not, you know, necessarily big esports fans or big video game fans, but they do enjoy, you know, a cross section of games, more times than not, the main reason that they find that they're not attracted to esports is because they're not already a big fan of the game being played, or they're not, you know, immersed in that lore or that fandom, that they find it hard to connect with everybody who is there and is a big fan and, you know, understands everything that they're seeing from jump. You know, like, I can somewhat follow a competitive match of League of Legends. Okay. I understand, you know, some of the benefits and pitfalls from running, you know, top, mid, and bottom, you know, but I couldn't tell you which one I was better suited for. I couldn't tell you the kind of player that I was better suited for. And, you know, when I watch people shoutcast League games, I find it very difficult to follow what's happening because I don't understand. I'm not immersed in that fandom. So I don't understand all the lingo. I don't know, you know, when it's a big deal for one person to play a different type of character when they res again versus the character that they initially went into and what the strategy is behind that and why it's important. I find that I can't keep up with the shoutcasters, so I end up in a place where I'm either just trying to keep up with what's happening on the screen or I'm trying to keep up with the shoutcasters, and so therefore I'm not keeping up with either, and so it's hard for me to then maintain a high interest in watching it because I'm not able to follow along. And I think that when you have games that, regardless of whether you've played every game in the series or you've been part of the fandom for long, if there is something that you can relate to, whether it's the characters or the environment, then it makes it easier for you to be interested in. So I think that, you know, as an example, not a lot of people, even in you know, the general casual game space, have played a lot of different fighters. You know, Mortal Kombat has name recognition. I would say that Mortal Kombat has more name recognition than a Soul Calibur.
I absolutely agree.
You know, if I say Ivy is the most badass fighting character ever just because of the way that she's designed, only people who are actually fans of Soul Calibur would know that. Whereas if I say the word Naruto, Naruto's big enough and the character's been on enough things that even if you're not a Naruto fan, there's
you
probably
have
something
osmosed.
You can, right. There's you, something you can recognize, whether it's the, oh, that's the anime kid that runs with his arms in his back because you see so many people on the internet doing Naruto runs, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like,
I can't stand that meme. I can't stand that meme.
That's the kid that runs around in orange all the time, you know? Or somebody's going to be like, believe it. Like, there's enough penetration in the mainstream.
Penetration.
That it's become part of the common lexicon, right? Mortal Kombat has become part of the lexicon because of all the press that it got when the first game initially came out, you know, because it was one of the games that they wanted to ban. So it's one of those things that it's been around long enough and it's been in the news and in media enough that there's automatic name recognition. You know, even if you've never played a Mortal Kombat game, if I say, oh, Mortal Kombat, somebody's gonna be like, oh, that's that game where, like, you can rip people to shreds and it has fatalities. Like,
I mean, I go back as far as, you know, Toasty.
Right? Oh, the MD
I mean, and that's
Toasties.
Not and that's not even far enough back if you want to go old school.
Right. That's not back to the video capture, mo capture, you know, versions. Right? So I think that having games where many of the characters are going to fall in common lexicons for people across the globe will allow it to bring more people in. You know, most of the people, when they think of competitive fighting games, they're either going to say Street Fighter or they're going to say Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
It's very rare that they're going to say anything like a Virtua Fighter or a Samurai Showdown or, you know, or they're going to think Smash, which,
I mean, especially right now, particularly, I think you will hear them say Smash.
So I think that Jump Force 1 isn't being marketed well, and that should change, because I think that it has the potential to bring in a lot of casual gamers, simply because of the character lineup that's in the game, and the additional characters that they're going to be adding down the line. You know, and it's very, very obvious when you look at some of the trailers and some of the gameplay from some of the trade shows that they've been showing the game off at, that it's absolutely trying to gear itself for competitive gaming spaces. You know, it's got a very deep block, you know, counter system in it. But it also can appeal to the button mashers. And that's where you get your casual folks in. And then they can appreciate the competitive level. And they'll have that recognition because they're characters that more than likely there's at least going to be 1 to 2 to 3 in the game that you know and you love. So being able to play that character is going to be enough of a draw to get people into the game. So I'm getting more excited about Jump Force, and I hope that there's a demo for it soon, because I'd really like to play it. And I haven't had a chance to actually go to a show where it's being demoed. You know, they didn't bring it to East, because believe you me, I would have founded it.
Right. I mean, you've always been very interested in fighters that had a really good balanced counter system.
Yeah.
Like, you like to give your victims a fighting chance.
Here's the thing. It's not about victims.
The illusion of one.
It's not about victims, because when I meet somebody who appreciates a counter system as much as I do, it's a fucking all-out brawl, and more times than not, I get my ass handed to me. You just haven't been in the room.
I'm just not good enough. I need to get good.
Right. But you don't invest in getting good.
Okay,
like the moves list is always available in every fighting game that we've played.
I know.
You've had plenty of time, okay, to check out moves lists, to go into training rooms and sparring rooms, to run through arcade.
Yeah, but who's got time for that?
Okay, people make time, all right? If it's a goal that you want to achieve, you got to make time and put into work. That's what Gary Vee says. Quit your bitching. Just do it. Get out there and do it. Hustle. Okay? Like me, I pick one character that I'm like, I'm going to learn your entire moveset and all of your counters. I got one character in just about every fighting game that I play that I do that. And then I have a second, so that's my main. And then my sub run is usually someone where I'm like, okay, I can probably actually get through with just learning a couple of counters and some button mashing. So like in Soul Calibur, my main is Ivy.
Yep, I know that.
Okay, and my sub run is Kalik.
Yep.
Okay.
Whenever you have those two, I'm like, I'm not playing.
Because Ivy is actually devastating if you learn her moves across the board. Okay, there are ways that you can start a combo with Ivy and kill your opponent and they never have a chance to actually block.
Yeah, she's
okay.
Fair.
She's
OP.
But her moves list is she's only OP if you learn her entire moves list and combo breakers. Okay? If you don't learn her breakers, she's not OP. There's no character in Soul Calibur that unless you learn everything that they do is OP, except now Geralt. Geralt is fucking OP. For no fucking reason in Soul Calibur 6. Like, there's no reason for him to be so fucking OP. But he is. I guess it's because he's a Witcher.
I mean,
like, when I play the game, if I'm playing against somebody and they pick Geralt, I'm like, okay, so I'm losing this match. Like, I just resign myself to that fact. Unless I realize that they actually don't know what they're doing with Geralt. And then I have a standing chance of, like, ringing them out. That's pretty much all I go for anybody that's playing Geralt is trying to get a ring out, because that's like my only hope, if they know what they're doing. You know, but with a Kalik type character, you can get away with button mashing. You don't have to learn Kalik's moves list as long as you can figure out the right buttons to mash in order. So not even learning the moves list, just what the order is of the button mash, because he's got range because he's a staff fighter.
Right.
You can get along just pretty well.
Just learn how to chain his stuff. Enough.
Right. Like, you don't have to learn the full moves list. It's just like, you know, learn his backing up head slash high, because most people, when they're jumping into the game, forget that they have to block up. Most people block mid and block low. They forget to block up. And Kalik has a shit ton of ranged attacks that are high, so you can just stand back and, like, beat somebody with your staff over and over again. Because they forget to block high. You know, so you can button mash with Kalik and be okay. Okay? And you can kind of button mash with, what's his name? The nunchaku guy, Maxie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Be okay. But pretty much everybody else in the game, if you're going to play them and you want to play them to, like, any kind of I can probably kick a few people's asses level, you got to learn some of the base combo breakers and attacks. But if you know those characters and love those characters, you're just excited to get into the game because you get to play your favorite character. And so that's what I'm getting at is I think that, you know, if you're looking to bring your game into esports as a new franchise entering the space, I think it's a really smart move to try and use and leverage the nostalgia factor, which you've mentioned on many podcasts that we've done, does motivate you because it hits that warm spot in your memories
in
as a youth.
My brain and in my heart. You're right. Yes.
I mean, think about it. One of the main reasons that we are so excited about Kingdom Hearts is because it's filled with fucking characters that we love and we're excited to see what their relevant worlds are going to be and be able to play as these characters that we've come to know over the last two games, or if you go through the entire arc, 9 games.
I'm excited for Kingdom Hearts, but I'm also, like I said before, like me and, you know, my good buddy Square Enix have been on the rocks for a little
bit. Right. I know you guys are on a timeout right now.
But I'm looking forward to him coming back from his trip. Maybe he's matured. Maybe I'm ready to mature.
You both have spent some time away now to work on yourselves. You know, now you can come back and share with each other, you know, what you've learned, how you've each grown. And, you know, you can see if there's, like, you know, still a spark there.
That's right. Yep. And I'm ready to see that.
You know, I'm ready to run through a Wreck-It Ralph world. I'm crazy ass excited to do that. The 100-acre wood stuff that they've been showing off with Pooh and everything, I'm excited about that too. So it's just for me, Kingdom Hearts tickles my nostalgia bone in two ways. One, because of all the Disney characters that are involved. And then this go around Disney Pixar, because Pixar is part of Disney, or Disney's part of Pixar. You know, I mean, depends on who you ask, right? But I'm going to get to experience these characters that I know from all these different realms that I've, you know, pretty much grown up with most of my life. And it also tickles my nerd bone because it's a game. And I'm a massive gamer. So it's bringing two of my favorite things together. So that's part of the reason why I'm very excited for it. Do I think that I'm going to complete the game 100%? No. Do I even think that I'm going to get to endgame? Not sure. I didn't get to endgame in the last Kingdom Hearts game because I couldn't fucking beat Sephiroth. Now, it was my own fault. I admit this, okay? So I'm saying it right now. It is going on this recording. I did not grind appropriately before going into the cave.
And who told you you should probably grind up? Because
That would be you. And I did some grinding, but I didn't do enough grinding before I went into the Sephiroth room. And I didn't know that once I entered the Sephiroth room, I would not be able to go back to any previous state.
Yep.
Or leave the Sephiroth room until I beat Sephiroth. And so after my 35th time, no joke, attempting to beat Sephiroth and not even getting a quarter of his health down, I was like, I'm not finishing this game.
That's really sad.
And I didn't. And I wasn't about to start a new save because I was like, I've already put 42 hours into this game. I'm not doing this again. So I didn't finish that Kingdom Hearts game. I had to watch the ending on a YouTube video. You know, and I take that L. I take that L. I don't wear it with pride, but I wear it with truth and honesty and authenticity. So I don't know if I'm going to end up, hopefully I won't end up in a similar situation with Kingdom Hearts 3. I am going to grind more. I've gotten more accustomed to grinding. You know, at the time that I was playing Kingdom Hearts 3, I was really just starting my delving into MMO playing, RPG playing, and those kinds of things. So I was not yet a comfortable to degrindage.
Uh-huh.
Destiny and Assassin's Creed Syndicate and Origins have learnt me in the ways of degrind. Like, I am now very comfortable with grinding it out. I am, like, some people be like, oh, this is my side bitch. I'm like, I am the side quest chick. Show me all the side quests. I will run every one of those bitches because I need the XP.
I'm glad that you came around.
Yep. Look, I can learn. I might be a, you know, seasoned dog, but I can learn some new tricks Okay? I'm comfortable with the grind. As long as the grind is for purpose. When the grind is not for purpose, when the grind is just to be grinding so you have something to do, that's some bullshit and I'm not in for it. But if it's like, hey, you know this boss at the end? Like, if you're not at this level, you shouldn't even walk in this building because you have no chance.
See? So I'm glad to hear that because I would definitely tell you, don't play Dragon Quest 11.
No, I know. Literally,
to beat the end boss, you gotta be level 99. There's no, don't even think about, nope.
Mm-mm. Don't do it. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to switch gears a little bit out of the game stuff, and I want to talk about some anime, because since I have been putting so many hours into Odyssey to finish that up before I jump into RDR2, which once I do, then we'll be talking about RDR2.
Yep, that will for be sure. On the, absolutely.
It'll be on the listices. I've been watching some anime, so there are two that I want to talk about, especially because one of them, in all honesty, is an anime that I normally would not watch. Like, it's not anything that you would pick on a list and be like, if you saw these on a list, be like, okay, Ninja's watching that, Ninja's definitely not watching that, she'll definitely watch that. Like, this is probably one that you'd be like, she's definitely not watching that. But I ended up watching it. So, you know, recently Netflix announced that they were going to be investing a really metric shit ton of money into anime. You know, they worked out a deal with Funimation that they were going to be bringing more Funimation things onto the platform, but they were also going to be investing money in more original Netflix original anime series. And some of them have started to pop up, and some of the licensing things have started to pop up. So I just happened to be looking at the anime channel because I like to scope out, you know, when Netflix is adding new things. Because there have definitely been some hit stuff that they've done. You know, Seven Deadly Sins, I absolutely enjoyed. I liked Ajin a bunch.
Yeah, Ajin was very good.
Violet Evergarden, also another one that I thought was really fantastic. So, you know, they really, and those are all very, very distinctly diverse animes. They're not all saccharine, they're not all dark, they're not all mecha. Actually, I didn't think I mentioned any mecha in any of those.
No.
You know, Knights of Sidonia, I thought was also good. So, you know, they've really been coming up with some interesting original stuff. And so I just happened to be looking through the channel because I was trying to take a little bit of a break from YouTube and a little bit of a break from Odyssey. And I found this series that was called Backstreet Girls. And it looked like it was a idol anime. And there's been a bunch of idol animes that have been popping up.
Yes.
You know, both on the female side and the male side. Right. Like, we're still seeing a bunch of the Transported to Another World, but also some more idol things popping up. And I don't necessarily mind idol shows. I think that some of them are done, they're super cute and interesting. You know, one of the ones that I was talking about was Zombieland Saga, which is the anime series where this very crazy guy is putting together an idol group, but they're all made of zombies.
Yep.
So they're learning to be idols while also trying to mask the fact and make sure that nobody finds out that they're zombies. And hilarity and hijinks ensue. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to take a look at this one. And so I looked at the description, and just from the description, I had that, you know, the meme that goes around with, like, the woman with all the science facts, and she just has this really confused, dumbfounded face. Like, I read the description, and then my face did that, and I started to see, like, the Beautiful Mind math floating out in the air, so it caused me to hallucinate, and I was like, I have to watch one of these episodes. So the anime itself, again, if you were to look at the description, is something that I typically do not tolerate.
Prescribe to.
One, it is a collection of the short topic anime. So they're all like 3-minute, 5-minute episodes.
Okay.
Which, short as you form, know, yes. I typically don't enjoy, because if I am sitting down to get an anime, I want a story. I don't want just a short collection of vignettes.
Right. Yep.
Right? Now, I understand the reason why you do the short vignettes, because you can get away with more inappropriate visuals depending upon the runtime of the piece, because it depends on the runtime of how it gets classified, right? And so then it has to stand up to different standards
in Japan
than others. So you can do more panties and upshots and boobs and younger looking girls being involved in more adult situations if it's not a typical 13-minute, 22-minute runtime periodical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just on paper, that alone would typically put it in the bucket where I wouldn't be watching it. However, the description of the anime series is that these three Yakuza guys, after failing miserably at a mission they were given by their boss, in order to redeem themselves, have to have a sex change and become successful idols.
What?
Exactly. That's what my face did.
What?
That's what my face did. I was like, I have to watch this. I have to. How does this
even happen? I have to watch this.
Like, how does this even happen? Like, my brain was like, we're watching this. Okay, my husband made me some popcorn. I'm like, I'm in. I'm in because my curiosity is piqued. And literally, like, these three guys, and I forget their names, and their names really are important, okay? Because they refer to each other as bro all the time, and their code names, right? But they're basically dumb fuck Yakuza guys, okay? And they mess up this mission. They got caught by another house messing with their stuff. Their boss brings them in, and he's just like a beast of a brutal man. Like, he walks around all the time with like two bats crisscrossed behind his head because that's what he's going to throw down, okay? And basically is like, yeah, so you guys really fucked this up. You have really three choices on how to like get square. Either I kill you, I just flat out beat you to death right here, one after another in front of each other. We take out some of your organs to sell them to try to make up for the debt that you are going to cost me. Which, you know, for most of you means I'm probably going to get your kidneys. Definitely going to get a lung. Might even take a couple of legs, to be honest with you. Or fly to Thailand, get a sex change.
You turn
change.
In your Wait, male parts. No.
Let me tell the story.
Okay.
Because he always says this the same way. Get on a plane, go to Thailand and have the surgery and come back as women. And become an idol group. And they're all like, really? And he's like, yeah, you got 5 seconds to choose one of these three. And they're like, what? And he's like, two, three. And they're like, ah! And then you see a plane fly off. So the animation's always the same because it's a limited animation piece. Okay, so there's not a whole lot of animation going on. Like, even when they're singing, it's stills and close-up, and they have lights going around them, but they're not actually moving or dancing when songs are happening. But these three guys go on the plane, they come back, and they're absolutely stunningly gorgeous females. But again, they're Yakuza women. Dudes, so they're still dudes on the insides. Like, when they talk to each other, it's all in gruff, like, Yakuza guy voices.
Right? Like, oh, but they're beautiful girls.
But they're beautiful girls on the outside, and only the Yakuza group knows this. So, like, they're running around doing, like, all the idol stuff that you have to do to build things up. So, like, they're trying to do commercials. But on the inside, they're still Yakuza. So they're trying to, like, figure out ways to, like, scam people into giving them more money or, like, getting more time. And the boss constantly is beating them when they're not being motivated enough to do their jobs well. So, like, they'll go on, like, immediate, like, terrified response, like they're in the army when he comes and he's like, and he writes all their songs.
And they're horrible. Of course he does.
But because of how they were trained, and they show, like, a montage early on where, like, they were forced to, like, almost like Shinto priestesses, be under a waterfall naked, singing out loud to learn how to project. And he was standing out there, I can't hear you. And, like, they're always, like, dark and sad eyes.
You have to
watch it because it's so absurd and yet entertaining the entire time. Like, there's one episode where, like, their mob boss is meeting with another boss from America named Don, who is just stupid. But he has one of his guys on his team who also is stupid and fucked up. And so the Japanese guy is explaining, like, you need to get into the idol business because there's so much money to make because these chicks make all kinds of money. Like, I set them up for 5-hour sit-down handshake meetings all the time. They have, like, 2 or 3 of those a day. Then they have 2 or 3 performances that they're doing. And I'm getting people to pay me thousands and thousands of dollars to sit down with these bitches for 5 minutes. Like, you need to get into this racket because you can make more money doing this than running numbers. He's like, all you got to do is take every single one of your dudes that fucks you over, fly him out to Thailand to get the surgery, set up your agency, boom, 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 get him doing some business, and you'll be making that money. So he decides to have this guy who is, like, just, you know, the quintessential stereotypical American white dude in anime.
Right.
But yet he speaks Japanese just really badly, but with, like, a really bad southern accent, too. So he's this blonde-haired, partially shaven guy with blue eyes, and gets flown to Japan. He's like, yeah, my family leader told me that I had to come out here in order to, you know, get the honor back and, like, you know, redeem the family. So I'm here. And he said that basically I was going to learn how to be a performer. And, like, all the other dude guy girls are like, so you don't know what's about to happen? Because he's thinking that he's sitting in this room with these three beautiful women. And he's like, well, maybe we could have a foursome before I, like, go on stage and stuff. And they're like, yeah, that's not going to happen to you, dude. And then the boss comes in and he's like, all right, so you ready to go to Thailand? He's like, I'm not going to Thailand. Why would I go to Thailand? He's like, for your gender reassignment surgery. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, that's what's happening right now. And he's like, no, it's not. And so then the boss beats him. He's like, so do I kill you?
Are we ready now?
Do I take your organs or do you get on the plane? So then you see the plane go. And then he comes back as this gorgeous brunette Japanese girl, but still talking like the really bad southern accent American guy speaking Japanese, and he's now a trainee learning how to become an idol.
Oh my god, it's like, it's just watch this.
It and so, and part of the reason why I'm able to get through it is because instead of it just being like the 3 minute, 5 minute episodes, and then it's like exit song and into a new episode, Netflix is actually grouping in episodes 4 or 5. So you're getting like a 20 minute run of just a series of them. So like each episode basically has like 5 to 6 episodes actually of this anime in it at a time for the season.
Okay.
So you actually get for every episode you watch on Netflix, 22 minutes of this experience. It's the best. It's the only thing I can say. It's an experience. But like, it's just so over the top. And, like, they'll all tell their sad, you know, old boy stories of, like, drinking with other Yakuza guys and then running into them in real life and learning that they're skeevy pervs.
It's like, he's such a perv.
Okay, one guy
that way
even,
when I was a dude.
Like, one guy, even after his surgery, still has a really bad hemorrhoid problem to the point where he has to go and have surgery. And as he's sitting with the doctor and the doctor, like, has him drop his pants, finally realizes, hey, this is... Ed just makes a comment, you know that this is a women's hospital. And he just goes, I know, doc, but please be gentle. As you can see, I have serious problems. And has to undergo hemorrhoid surgery.
Oh my god. I have to watch
you have to watch it. It's just so unbelievably, like, over the top that it's just fun. It's just fun. So I've been crazy enjoying it. Backstage Girls on Netflix. You have to watch it. You just have to watch it. It's a requirement. It is. It's the kind of funny that I think Neo Tokyo wanted to be and just didn't get there.
Okay.
Because it's just silly slapstick fun based on just ridiculous situations. So that's one. And then the other anime that I've been watching that I really didn't expect to be good, but I should have known better, is a series that you can find, I think, on Crunchyroll as well as on Hulu. I'm watching it on Crunchyroll. And it's called That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime.
Okay.
Yeah, this can tell you, like, where I've been living, okay?
Yeah, I can, right? I can see.
So the premise of the anime is that it starts off with this guy named Satoru Mikami, okay? And he's a 37-year-old guy, you know, office man, very nice, very polite, you know, has a couple of friends, just going about his business, okay? He's always thinking in his head and, like, weighing situations, but he's just, like, a general guy. The first episode starts where he's meeting up with some friends because one of his younger dude friends, I don't want to say kohai, but, like, one of his younger dude friends that looks up to him and, you know, treats him like he is a senpai, wants to meet up to introduce him, Satoru, to this girl that he likes. because he basically wants to kind of, you know, get the approval from his senpai of like, yeah, she's a sweet girl. I can see why you like her. You should definitely continue to go after that. So they're walking down a sidewalk to meet up and they're saying their hi's. And as they're talking, you can see this guy is running up with a knife and looks like he's going to stab the girl. And you don't know, like, why this guy has this knife or, like, and it's all happening in slow motion. And Satoru's like, oh, man, like, is analyzing the whole thing as it's happening. Is like, something has to happen. And he just instinctively jumps in to protect his young friend and his girl. And he gets stabbed straight in the abdomen. Like, you can see the knife go in and, like, the point come out the backside. And, like, he drops to the ground and is, like, bleeding. And he's having this whole, like, soliloquy in his head. So I guess it's a monologue. Because all the people around him are like, call an ambulance. And he's, like, bleeding out. And they're like, stay with us, stay with us. And, like, the entire time he's like, well, this is shitty. Like, I never thought that I would die a virgin. Like, that's his first thought. He's like, I'm dying, and I'm dying a virgin. I'm 37, and I'm going to die without ever knowing a woman's touch. Like, everybody's looked up to me all my life as, like, being a really, you know, like, kind and quiet person. And, like, I've never even touched a boob. And, like, he's just bleeding out. And then you hear this voice, and he's like, oh, shut up, whatever. And he's like, you know what? I wish it wasn't so cold. And it's like, oh, so you then see this flash and it's like, you want to be able to have cold resistance. He's like, but I also don't ever want to get too hot. Like, the blood rushing out of me feels like so warm and I don't like it. And it's like, okay, so you want to also be impervious to heat. And you know, like, it just, like, everywhere hurts on my body. I just don't want it to hurt anymore. And it's like, okay, so you want a body that, you know, is impervious to pain. And it's just like running all these things down as he's saying them as if it was taking like a stats list. And then you see that he dies.
Okay.
And then you hear him start talking, and it's now from the perspective of being him, and he's opening his eyes, and he's like, oh, I'm kind of wet. It doesn't really feel cold or hot, but I just feel wet. And that wasn't what I was looking at before. Am I dreaming? And you realize that Satoru has been transported at the point of his death to another world. And all the requests that he was making that he didn't realize were requests, they were just things that he wanted to have, were the stats that were being collected to give to him in his new form when he arrived in this world. And so with a body that was impervious to pain, that was impervious to extreme cold or extreme heat, that had the ability to adapt, he was basically brought into this new fantasy world that has like elves and dragons and stuff as a slime.
As a slime.
So the game is basically, the anime is set up like an RPG game. So there are adventurers going on quests and all that kind of stuff. It reminds me a lot, and I haven't looked at it. I probably should, because the art style is very similar. So it probably is done by the same studio that did Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon?
Oh, probably.
Because, like, the cover art looks very, very similar in style. The character setup is very, very similar in style, because he's now this slime, and slimes really are like supposedly the lowest form of monster in this new realm because there are monsters.
I mean, in most RPGs, the slime is like the first monster you encounter.
But
until later, like in Dragon Quest, they become like super powerful, especially if they're metal slimes.
Well, Satoru basically is like a behemoth of a slime. So while he's in this cave that he wakes up in, he discovers, because he hears this voice in his head that is basically his stat manager companion, but it's in his head, that's like, yeah, so like, you can just use your predator skill and like down all these things. Like, see all these crystals around you? Yeah, they're full of magical essence. So if you eat them, then like you'll boost your magical essence, which will let you gain even more skills. But you can also use predator to eat other things, and then you will actually be able to mimic those things and also learn all of their skills. And
he's like, oh, so you're Kirby.
Basically, you're Kirby. Okay, as part of this, while you're going through the cave, eating all the magical crystals that are there, you run into this dragon. And this dragon was basically like a badass dragon that was weighing lace, kind of like the Behemoth in Rage of the Behemoth, was destroying the world. And so all the mages of the world gathered together to seal him into this cave. And as long as he's sealed, like, the world is safe. But he's really lonely. He hasn't been able to, like, meet people for 300 years. And he feels kind of sort of bad because it was just a misunderstanding of why, like, he got upset and, you know, was weighing lace to the world. And so he just wants to talk with people and not be alone because he's been alone in this ice cube for, like, 300 years. And ultimately, the slime is like, well, okay, I'll get you out of that because you helped me, like, see and figure out, like, what was really going on in the world as opposed to just, like, hearing stuff. So, like, I'll be your friend and I'll figure out a way to get you out of here. And so they try a couple of things he can't figure out. And he's like, well, I do have this, like, skill where I could, like, eat you. And if I do, then I'll learn your skill sets eventually. And I'll learn, like, about this barrier. And then I'll be able to get rid of it and, like, put you back out into the world. And he's like, okay, cool. We could do that. And he's like, but we should first, like, be friends. And he's like, so what's your name? And he's like, well, I don't really have, you know, a name. I'm just, like, you know, this slime. And the dragon's like, well, I'll name Velodrama. And my family name is, like, Tempest. He's like, so I'm going to name you Tempest. Well, giving a name to a monster lets them evolve. So when Rimuru, Tempest, gets his name, he evolves, gets to a point where he can actually devour the dragon, and then is now learning the dragon skill. Everybody in the world then feels the dragon is missing and is like, oh, shit, like, the world's going to fall apart because, like, the dragon's actually out in some way. And Rimuru then goes out on his quest to, like, basically learn about the world and figure stuff out. But everyone is, like, coming up to him and be like, oh, you ain't shit. You're just a slime. And he's like, yeah, actually, I'm ridiculously powerful. And they try to attack him, and he just, like, destroys them. And they're like, well, then now I'm going to worship you because you're a fucking god. Like, we didn't even know slimes could talk, let alone, like, have all this magic power. He ends up, like, creating his whole village, giving all these goblins a name. And then he passes out because it uses all of his magic. He wakes up the next day and they're all, like, powerful hobgoblins because he gave them names and gave him some of his power and, like, creates this whole village. So it's basically just, like, him going through devouring people, showing off his power that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. It's adorable and you need to watch it.
I think
I'm addicted.
Think you're right.
It's just like, if you like series like Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon and you enjoy the transported to another world, and so now I'm reconciling the world I know with this new world that I'm surrounded by type of anime, then you will absolutely enjoy this because it's got really cute moments. The character of Rimuru, when he's renamed Satoru in the new world, is always, like, thinking through everything constantly in his head, so he's always keeping his wits about him and being very logical and methodical about, you know, how he interacts with people and who he shows what to. So it takes itself seriously enough that he just doesn't go overboard in being sick with power and just gets put into situations where he has to think his way through and be one step ahead of everybody that he's meeting, and ultimately gets on a path where he's, like, meeting people that he decides he wants to help, not just because he wants their support in the end, but because, just like when he was meeting with his young friend, he likes being a nice person and helping people who deserve it. So it's super cute. And yet there are some battles, you know, with orcs, the orc lords coming. It's actually adorkable. You can watch it on Crunchyroll. I think they're up to 9 or 10 episodes now, so it's a good binge right now, especially with the holiday period around. The entire first season, which is, I want to say, like, around 3 to 5 minute episodes looped together on Netflix, are available for Backstage Girls. So they're both some pretty good binges and really great palate cleansers. And that's really the recommendation. Like, if you're looking for just a fun, silly time to cleanse your palate that you can just sit in and tune in for a little bit, but also turn your brain off for a little bit, I highly recommend both of these series because I've thoroughly enjoyed them. Like, I am avidly watching, well, I already binged through Backstage Girls first season, but I am avidly watching That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime and also watching Zombieland Saga. Again, super cute. Definitely palate cleansers, highly recommend. And with the exception of Backstage Girls, you can find the other two on Crunchyroll right now streaming, and Backstage Girls you can find on Netflix.
Okay.
So there you have it. That's the show. We hope you enjoyed it. We want to wish happy holidays to all. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, either in iTunes on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. You can also get our podcast on Stitcher Radio, on Google Play, on Vogue Network, on our own website, electricsisterhood.com. If you're using a podcast aggregator or service, just look for the Eshcast and subscribe. Links to our podcast are available right on our website from our homepage. We have a whole page directly just for the podcast. You can also find links to subscribe to our RSS feed on our website, so you can check out our news and reviews and previews of anime and game stuff right there from our entire content creation team on our site, as well as engage with us on our social. We're on Instagram at ESH News, Twitter at ESH News, Facebook at facebook.com/landofesh. You can ask us questions, tell us if there's something that you want us to check out. If you enjoy our show, please make sure that you check out some of the other great content that everybody that's part of the Esh family is creating. That includes our homie King Baby Duck over at b3crew.com, his bi-weekly podcast No Borders No Race, where he spins some music from artists that you know and a bunch that you didn't, so you can discover a really cool artist from across the globe, teaches you a little bit of Japanese as well, and covers anime, manga, games, and so much more on his site, b3crew.com. You can check out our man, HamsterMan2049, streaming live on Twitch, new games and old, Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern. You can check out his site, smashedrook.com, or visit our Facebook page or his social to get the link for when he's going live and find out what he's going to be playing that week. They're really fun games. You can jump in a chat, even recommend games for him to play. Super, super engaging. So much fun. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review, which you can check out on YouTube. You can check out his site, issuesprogram.com. And he's getting active on Twitch as well, doing some really cool interactive stuff over there. So please make sure that you engage with the Issues Guy, wherever he be, because it's a good time. It's just a jolly random time. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, whether jolly being, and random.
You know, whether it live in chat or calling in, just being part of the show, it is absolutely entertaining. Tiny Tim wishes he has the energy that Phil has. And then last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff nerds crave, whether it's anime, manga, comic books, movies, video games, or more. If it's nerdy at all, the nerds over at nerdcrave.com are talking about it. So hit up all of our sites, bookmark them all, check us out on our social. We have our links on all of our pages. Hit us up and let us know if there's something that you want us to check out or you want us to share our opinion on. We're getting ready to launch some really cool things in 2019 that, you know, we're both very excited about, and the teams are doing some really cool stuff. Shout out to our homies over at VogNetwork.com, Orange Lounge Radio, and Bobby Black Wolf's Throw are now on Twitch, so you can actually see the show happening and be part of it live in a new way. I watched some of Bobby's Twitch and it was absolutely a blast. So definitely make sure that you're tuning in. Hit up VogNetwork.com to get showtimes and all that good stuff. And check out all the other great content that they have on the platform, because I love all the shows over there. And they're just a great bunch of people with some great things to say. So that's all the time that we have on this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks.
Ho, 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 everyone.